Welcome to the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine. Meet him, greet him, treat him, and street him. Today's date is June 1st, 2015, and I am your skeptical host, Ken Milne. The title of today's podcast is Intranasal Fentanyl. Oh, what a feeling. And our guest skeptic is Dr. Anthony Crocco. Anthony is the Division Head and Medical Director of Pediatric Emergency Medicine at McMaster University. He is also known as a ranter and a sketchy EBM kind of guy. Welcome back for back-to-back pediatric episodes on the SGEM.
Hey, Ken. It's great to be back for back-to-back sessions, and I feel really honored to be here.
Yeah, and we're here at CAPE having a fantastic time.
It's been a great CAPE so far, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow and Wednesday's sessions.
Hey, you know one of the favorite things or coolest things that we've done here at CAPE is when you punked my 10-minute pain talk.
Yeah, it was really well organized, Ken, and I thank you for doing that. Interrupting you in the middle of one of your talks and then having the security folks try and walk me out of the room was great.
Yeah, I'll include the video on the blog for people to see what a pain in the ass educator you really are when it comes to knowledge translation. But another cool thing that happened here is that 16-kilometer trail run we did through Edmonton.
Yeah, about 6 months ago, I made the decision, possibly poor decision, of training for a triathlon, which is going to happen in about a month and a half. And so I had to get a long run in today, and it was great to run with you.
Yeah, no, it was epic down along the river, sunshine. What a fantastic place to go for a run. But let's start the podcast with a case.
Of course. So today we're talking about a 13-year-old boy who twisted his leg at school. He presents to the emergency department with a laterally displaced patella. Prior to reduction of the dislocated patella, you wonder what you can give the child for pain management.
Oligoanalgesia is defined as the lack of or inadequate pain control, and there are many studies showing this is a big problem in the emergency department.
Yeah, pain is one of the number one reasons people come to the emergency department, and we generally do a very poor job.
The Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations, or JCO, addressed this serious problem in 2001, making pain the fifth vital sign.
Yeah, some people did object to having a subjective finding as a vital sign. Regardless, JCO mandated that all patients in the emergency department have a pain documented at triage on a 0 to 10 point pain scale.
And you know what? When patients come in and the triage nurse asks them to rate their pain from 0 to 10, you know what the answer is? Oh, my pain goes to 11.
There are a lot of options available to physicians for addressing pain. Non-pharmacologic options include distraction, like music or video games, sucrose and warming for infants, as well as splinting, to name a few. There are a number of pharmacologic options, including acetaminophen, NSAIDs, nerve blocks, subdissociative doses of ketamine, and opioids.
Yeah, and you mentioned sucrose, and in fact, I really wanted to do a whole episode on sucrose, just for the very reason of that epic 80s song, Sweet Child of Mine.
That would have been great.
But you did mention opioids, and that's been a huge problem in the adult emergency department population. The CDC reports narcotic pain relievers now cause or contribute to nearly 3 out of 4 prescription drug overdoses and over 15,000 deaths per year.
Even with all the opioid abuse, there is a problem with oligoanalgesia.
And there are some groups of patients out there who are at greater risk. The elderly, women, the mentally ill, certain minorities, and certain socioeconomic levels.
And children make the list too. Studies by Simpello in 2004 and Kircher in 2014 have shown that pediatric emergency physicians are no better than general emergency physicians at recognizing and managing pain in children. They found that less than half of pediatric patients with fractures were given analgesia and that delays were around 2 hours.
Whoa. Anthony, you mean children feel pain?
I know. Children not feeling pain is an antiquated myth. The idea that it's hard to identify children in pain has long been debunked.
Well, you did mention earlier that there were non-pharmacological and pharmacological options to treat patients' pain. Why not just make it simple and knock them all out with codeine?
You know, Ken, codeine was a previously mainstream medication, but it's no longer so. In fact, Canada Health has recommended no codeine use for children under the age of 12. The metabolism of codeine is inconsistent at best, with some individuals not metabolizing codeine and therefore codeine being useless for them, and others being hypermetabolizers. These children are at risk of hypermetabolizing codeine directly into morphine, having a surge of morphine in their bodies, developing respiratory arrest and death.
Ooh, death. That's bad, right? So codeine, it's not a good choice. But can intranasal fentanyl be used in the pediatric patient population for pain relief safely?
Excellent question, Ken. And to answer that, we are going to review Murphy et al., Intranasal Fentanyl for the Management of Acute Pain in Children, found in the Cochrane Database of Systematic Reviews 2014.
You know the PICO. Let's go through the population, the intervention, the comparison, and the outcome. What was the population they had in this study?
They were looking for RCTs and quasi-RCTs studying children in acute pain.
So that's randomized control trials. What was the intervention?
The intervention was intranasal fentanyl.
And what did they compare it to?
They compared it to any other pharmacologic or non-pharmacologic intervention.
And their primary outcome, Anthony?
Their primary outcome was the reduction in pain score, and their secondary outcomes were adverse events, tolerance, rescue analgesia use, satisfaction of the parent or patient, cost, and mortality.
So the author's conclusions were, quote, intranasal fentanyl may be an effective analgesia for the treatment of patients with acute, moderate to severe pain, and its administration appears to cause minimal distress to children, end of quote. Well, Anthony, for systematic reviews, we don't have 11 questions. We have 7 questions to probe the literature. And the first question is, was the clinical question sensible and answerable?
It was.
And can you comment on that?
Sure. This is a really important question. In children with pain, it would be very helpful to have a safe, effective, and quick way to treat moderate to severe pain.
Question 2, was the search for studies detailed and exhaustive?
It was.
And the primary studies, were they of high methodological quality?
They were.
The assessments of the studies, were they reproducible?
Yes.
And how about the outcomes? Were they clinically relevant?
They were.
And how about the statistical heterogeneity for the primary outcomes? Were they low?
They were not.
So they were not low statistical heterogeneity. All right, the 7th question. The treatment effect, do you think it was large enough and precise enough to be clinically significant?
I do.
All right, so let's go through those key results. They had 3 studies that made the inclusion into this systematic review. One study compared intranasal fentanyl to intramuscular morphine. The next one was intranasal fentanyl to intravenous morphine. And the last study compared intranasal fentanyl given at 2 different concentrations. Given these methodological differences, combining the data set was not possible.
Right. When intranasal fentanyl was compared to intramuscular morphine, intranasal fentanyl was found to have no significant difference in pain control except at 10 minutes when intranasal fentanyl had a lower pain score, and this was significant. When intranasal fentanyl was compared to intravenous morphine, there were no significant differences noted in pain reduction between the 2 groups.
But there were no adverse events or deaths noted in any of the study. There was one participant who experienced a bad taste and another who vomited from the intranasal fentanyl group. In comparison, one patient in the intravenous morphine group experienced flushing of the IV site. But let's talk a little nerdy here.
This is a really well-performed systematic review, Ken. The search strategy was thorough, and the included studies, albeit not many, were of very good quality.
Sadly, all 3 studies were so different in their methodology that their data could not be combined.
Even given this, all 3 studies point towards intranasal fentanyl being an effective and safe method of managing moderate to severe pain in pediatric patients.
So can you comment on the author's conclusion compared to the SGEM conclusions then?
So I would agree with the authors 100%. This is an option for pain control in the pediatric population.
So give an SGEM bottom line then.
For children with acute moderate to severe pain, using intranasal fentanyl is a safe and effective way to manage the pain.
And how about giving a case resolution?
So in this case, because we knew that this child needed a very short procedure, we didn't think it was worth putting in an IV and waiting for that to get started and then giving IV morphine. We felt it would be faster just to give intranasal fentanyl, which we did. We then were able to safely and comfortably reduce the patella, and the child was sent home later.
And how are you going to take this literature, this Cochrane systematic review, and apply it clinically tomorrow in your practice?
So when I've got kids coming in with acute, moderate to severe pain, I'm also going to consider intranasal fentanyl as one of my options when I want to safely manage their pain.
And so what are you going to tell patients, or in this case, maybe their caregivers, about how you're going to use intranasal fentanyl?
So the way I explain this is I tell families and patients that we're going to spray some medicine in your nose, and this will tickle probably a little bit, but this is going to help you dramatically with the pain that you're experiencing.
So Anthony, I know that you've really become quite popular as a pediatric emergency medicine expert, and you were just on Anton Hellman's excellent podcast, EM Cases, talking about pain control. Can you give us a teaser about what you and Anton talked about?
Yeah, so we did a couple of podcasts. We did one a couple of weeks ago just discussing a case that I saw of an infant who was toxic from maternal ingestion of codeine. And today we just recorded a session with Dr. Samina Ali, who's an internationally renowned pediatric emergency physician and researcher on pediatric pain. I'm really hoping people can direct themselves to listen to that because there's quite a lot of great information that Dr. Ali was able to provide.
All right, it's time for the Keener contest. Last week's winner was Claudia Martin. Claudia knew that the passage below or behind a tier of seats in a stadium through which crowds can exit is called a vomitorium. Anthony, what's the Keener question this week?
So the Keener question this week, Ken, is what is the name of a validated pain scale using faces to assess pain in children?
If you know the answer to this Keener question, then send me an email, thesgem@gmail.com, with Keener in the subject line. The first person to correctly answer this question will receive a cool skeptical prize. Well, there we go, with back-to-back episodes with a pediatric EM superhero and sketchy EBM doc, Anthony Crocco.
You're very kind, Ken. You know, I really enjoyed doing a couple recordings with you here at the Cape Conference, and I'm really looking forward to Cape 2016 in Quebec City. Dr. Marcel Imond is coordinating things out there, and it's going to be great.
Hey, maybe we can get another long run on the Plains of Abraham.
If my knees haven't given out, that will be what we'll do.
Well, until then, can you give the Skeptic's Guide tagline?
Remember to be skeptical of anything you learn, even if you heard it on the Skeptic's Guide to Emergency Medicine.
Talk to everyone next week.